If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
President Trump has reached a deal with Mexico to reduce the number of migrants at the southern border. No more than 3, said Trump when asked how many more migrants he plans on marrying.
From 3D Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today, you'll hear Seth's interview with actress Sasha Mamet, who sticks around for a few more questions backstage exclusively for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
President Trump used his trip to Europe to enrich himself as calls for his impeachment grew louder. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. President Trump is back in the U.S., fresh off his European tour of doing and saying dumb things in important places. Whenever Trump goes abroad, it's like seeing all the worst habits of American tourists rolled into one person. The only thing he didn't do was show up to the Louvre in sandals and Mickey ears holding a McFlurry. This trip was no exception. Trump once again brought his signature weirdness to some of the world's most famous landmarks. He gave the Queen another one of his clammy handshakes. He went to Buckingham Palace to reenact a scene from the movie Tommy Boy. And he tried on a Winston Churchill-style bowler hat during an interview on British television. You know, it's pretty obvious that British reporters just like to make him do things to make him look silly. Like, right, now try on this hat. And now dance. Dance with the hat on. And now give us a little twirl. Give us a little twirl. Now you look fancy. You know, I never thought I'd say this, but your hair looks better than you in a hat. You don't look like Winston Churchill. You look like Dick Tracy minus the Tracy. Of course, one of the biggest highlights of Trump's trip was his stop at Normandy to commemorate the 75th anniversary of D-Day. Now, during his prepared remarks, Trump stayed on script, and it was a moving and solemn tribute. Afterwards, however, in an unscripted meeting with French President Emmanuel Macron, Trump tried to describe in his own terms the historical significance of Normandy, and he was a little less specific.
This was a very special day, and I want to thank you for inviting me. This was something that was, we read about it all our lives, Normandy. And there were those that say it was the most important ever, not just at that time, but ever. But it's a very special place. It's an amazing place. And it's somewhere when you think of those places of great importance, this is certainly one of the top. In the eyes of some, it's the top because of what it meant in terms of the turnaround of a very, very bad situation. That was the big turn.
I love how the camera pulls back like it's trying to see if there's someone else in the room who knows what the f*** is going on. Like, I mean, he sounds like he's doing voiceover for the History Channel, but then he spilled coffee on his script. And then there was Trump's trip to Ireland, where he met with the Irish prime minister and discussed the impact of Brexit on the border between Ireland, an independent republic, and Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK. Right now, there's an open border there. The absolute last thing anyone wants there is a wall. So naturally, Trump said something about having a wall there, a comment that was so dumb the prime minister of Ireland had to correct him.
I think that'll all work out. It'll all work out very well. And also for you, with your wall, your border. We have a border situation in the United States, and you have one over here. But I hear it's going to work out very well. I think it's both going to work out well. It's going to work out very well here.
The main thing you want to avoid, of course, is going to border our wall between...
No, I think you do. I think so. The way it works now is good. You want to try and keep it that way.
I love when Trump pretends he knew the right answer the whole time. You need a wall. We don't want a wall. No, yeah, you don't. No. No, I knew that. I was testing you. You passed. Congratulations. You passed. I'm smart. You passed. Seriously, this guy is unbelievable. These countries are in the middle of an extremely delicate diplomatic situation involving a landmark peace accord that ended decades of sectarian conflict. And Trump just bursts in and immediately says the wrong thing. He's the Kramer of international diplomacy. But Trump didn't just go to Ireland. Trump didn't just go to Ireland to make Brexit bloopers. He also went there to enrich himself on the taxpayers' dime by staying in yet another one of his personal properties, a golf course he owns in Ireland called Doonbeg. In fact, Huffington Post reported that the trip to his golf course in Ireland added at least another $3.6 million to a taxpayer-funded golf tap that totals nearly $106 million in just 2.5 years. And the resort in Ireland even began posting video of Trump's arrival aboard Marine One and of him teeing off the first green in its promotional material. And on top of that, they charged us for the hat. Trump also toted his weird adult sons around with him, even though they don't work for the government and they run the family business, which is supposed to be independent from the White House. They were even posting Instagram photos from the trip, like this shot Don Jr. posted from Buckingham Palace. Once again, why do these guys stand like such weirdos? Did he forget to take the hanger out of his jacket? He's like an alien who crash-landed on Earth and learned how to stand up straight by looking at a Ken doll. I've seen dogs that look more natural standing on their hind legs. Even if you put aside the 400-page Mueller report and the mountains of evidence that Trump obstructed justice, Trump's self-dealing should be a huge scandal. The president is enriching himself on the taxpayers' dime and mixing his personal business with the government. Compare that to previous presidents who went to great lengths to separate themselves from their businesses in order to avoid even the appearance of a conflict of interest.
Jimmy Carter famously put his peanut farm into a blind trust to avoid any suggestion that he might ever implement a policy that would benefit himself financially.
Jimmy Carter put his peanut farm in a blind trust. Can you imagine if Trump had a peanut farm? He'd be holding rallies there and selling jars of peanut butter with a presidential seal on them. I mean, he already looks like a peanut company mascot. If you ask Trump if the border wall will be made of steel or concrete, he'd say we're making the wall out of...
peanuts!
In many ways, this is all part of the same story with Trump. Whether it's his self-dealing or the 400 pages of evidence in the Mueller report, Trump's main interest is always enriching himself. And now there's increasing pressure from Democrats in Congress in running for president to begin impeachment hearings. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren made her case for impeachment again during a town hall last week.
Do you believe still that impeachment is the right path forward, and why or why not?
Yes, I do. The Mueller report came out, and the afternoon it came out, I sat down and started reading it. And I read it all afternoon, and I read it all night, and I read it into the next morning, all 448 pages. Donald Trump, as president, delayed, deflected, moved, fired, and did everything he could to obstruct justice. If he were any other person in the United States, based on what's documented in that report, he would be carried out in handcuffs. Now...
I love that she said Trump would be carried out because you know that's how they'd have to do it. If the feds ever came for Trump, he'd lie down on the floor like a kid who doesn't want to go to school. And they'd have to lift him out with a crane like when they transfer beluga whales at SeaWorld. Where are you gonna set me down? And yet, in the face of these increasing calls for impeachment, some Democratic leaders in the House, and in particular House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, have been resistant. Last week, Pelosi tried to mollify calls for impeachment by saying she'd rather see Trump in jail.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi escalating her war of words against the president. Politico reporting that during a meeting Tuesday, she was pressed by Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler to start impeachment proceedings. NBC News has learned from a congressional source in the room, Pelosi then said about the president, "I don't want to see him impeached. I want to see him in prison."
What does that mean if you think there's enough evidence to put him in jail, then there's enough evidence for him to lose his job. If you caught an employee stealing cash from the register, you wouldn't say, "You'll go to jail for this, but until that day, I'll see you at the company picnic." Now, we'll not shock you to learn that after that comment, Trump and his allies lashed out at Pelosi. First, Trump himself attacked her in a series of tweets and an interview on Fox News.
"Nervous Nancy Pelosi is a disgrace to herself and her family for having made such a disgusting statement, especially since I was with foreign leaders overseas."
"I think she's a disgrace. I actually don't think she's a talented person. She's a nasty, vindictive, horrible person. But Nancy Pelosi, I call her Nervous Nancy. Nancy Pelosi's a disaster. And she made a statement. It was a horrible,
when you were
nasty,
overseas,
vicious statement while I'm overseas. Now, if I made any statement about anybody, it would be like a big head. Why would he do that when he's overseas?"
You're doing it right now. You just did it. Trump does this weird thing where he predicts headlines as he's making those headlines. He's like a local news reporter holding a match and a bottle of kerosene over a graphic that says, "House fire in the Bronx, more at 11. Also, you call her Nervous Nancy? You sweat like a high school sophomore who crapped his pants in math class and just got called to the chalkboard. Then there was Trump booster Sean Hannity, who, without a hint of irony, claimed Pelosi had gone too far by calling for Trump to be jailed.
"Speaker Pelosi now apparently telling senior Democrats she'd like to see Trump behind bars. Based on no actual crime, she wants a political opponent locked up in prison. That happens in banana republics. Beyond despicable behavior."
Hey, man. Where were you during all those locker up chants? Oh, right, you were at those rallies. I mean, look at these two. This looks like the end of one of those fundraisers where they auction off a date with two bachelors nobody wants to bid on. $10, $5, I'll wear my tiny tuxedo. Impeachment will give Democrats the opportunity to marshal all the evidence against Trump in public and tell a story about his corruption that ties everything together. Because right now, Trump is obstructing and stonewalling Congress on almost every front. All he's giving them is
peanuts.
This is a closer look. Our guest tonight is a talented actress you know from her role as Shoshana on HBO's critically acclaimed series Girls. She can be seen in Armistead Maupin's Tales of the City, which is currently streaming on Netflix. Please welcome back to the show, Zasha Mamet, everybody! It's always so lovely to see you, and this was not by design, but it turns out that you are a friend of Steve Buscemi. This
yes.
is a thematic show. He played your father in a short film a few years ago.
Yes, he did. A very messed up short film. Yeah.
Very messed up. But you seem very happy to see him.
Yes,
we found
very
a lot of
happy.
Photos mm-hmm. where you are very happy to be
very pleased.
Near him.
Very pleased. Yes, Steve was pretending to be a paparazzo here. He jumped in front of all the normal photographers, and we had our own little fake photo shoot here.
Yeah, it's
as
wonderful.
You can see. Yes, the photos are nowhere to be found as they are imaginary.
Yeah.
But
boy,
we were very pleased.
You seem very happy with yourself.
Very pleased with each other, yes.
Did you, so this is a show from 20 years ago.
25.
25
years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you familiar with the original show?
I wasn't, actually. I feel sort of like, I felt a little bit bad when I found out because it's such a cult classic, and Armistead's books are so important and incredible, but I was just so excited when I heard about it for the first time, and I like ate the books up. There are just 9 of them, so obviously I'm a nerd.
Yeah.
And it was this like, huge cult classic in the early 90s. And then I think they've been wanting to sort of put it together since then, and all the chips just fell as they did.
Well, it's fantastic. It's a great cast, and it looks wonderful. But I have to ask you about this. I do want to move on to something, because you and your husband...
Yes.
I don't know if... Was it a honeymoon? Is that...
It was... Okay, so, well, kind of. We'll call it... Sure. I mean, why not? We didn't take a honeymoon when we were supposed to. We're both actors, so we got married, and then we both, like, he went to Canada, and I went to Los Angeles, and so we were, like, married for 5 days together, and then we were apart for 6 weeks. Right, maybe that's why we're still married.
Yeah.
We had always wanted, we liked this idea of like renting an RV and taking like a month off and doing just like a crazy trip with our dog.
And you did it.
We did it.
And
so,
I feel like that could fall on either side of the coin.
Yes.
How did you end up feeling about RVs at the end of the month?
Great. I mean, well, we're both still alive, and we're still married, so that's good.
Yeah.
And we like want to buy an RV.
Yeah.
We want to maybe.
You're RV people, maybe.
We're like totally RV people now. We were on the road, and I was like, I know, right? It's so I. Yeah,
You drove.
I drove.
Do you need? I have a lot of questions. Yeah, do you need a special license?
You do not need a special license.
Are they hard to park?
Yes.
Okay.
But you get used to it.
Yeah.
And we rented this RV, and we got our security deposit back. So.
Oh, that's good.
I didn't.
I would be nervous that you'd have to park your RV around other RVs, and that those people would be RV pros, and that I would look in the parking of the RV like a poser who had maybe never been in an RV before.
Yeah. So we got stuck behind this older couple who were trying to park their RV, and it got so bad that like a park ranger had to come, and it was like a whole situation, and they were doing sort of like the Austin Powers thing, except they hadn't like committed to it. It wasn't like we're gonna keep going and like eventually we're gonna make it. They just kept going in like the same exact. And Ed and I were sitting there and we were just like, oh my God. And by this point we'd like been in the RV for about 5 days. So we were like, we're veterans.
Yeah.
Like these people really need to get their stuff together.
RV lingo? Is there a lingo to being an RV?
Yeah, there's definitely lingo.
Are there things you can tell me, or being somebody who's not been in an RV, am I not allowed to hear?
I mean, there's like, I might get in trouble with like the RV
community
law individuals, but I'm willing to risk it because we're friends. So like there's a whole, when you like park at a place, there's normally like if it's an RV park, there's like a full hookup.
Oh, wow.
So you'll have like, you have to like plug your RV in, and then you have power, and there's like water for you to fill up your water tank. And there's like a super sexy little spot where you like dump your sewer. But when you're just like in a state park where you're just literally like, it's you in the state park and nothing else, they call it boondocking.
Oh, wow.
I know, it sounds kind of like naughty. I don't know why.
You did have your dog with you.
We did.
Moose.
Moose, yes.
And there's a picture of you and your husband and Moose. I would think at a state park it's nice to have a dog. I would be a little afraid. Did you animals? Did you have any issues with animals or anything?
Oh, you mean like to like keep them at bay?
Yeah.
No, we didn't have any animal issues. There were a lot of like signs like watch out for bears.
Yeah.
Which was daunting, but
for me, the minute I go in the woods, I'm on the lookout for bears. Like, you don't need to give me a sign.
By the woods, do you mean like, is this like Central Park? Are we talking like a bush? You're like, where are the bears?
I feel like if I haven't seen a building in like 5 minutes,
yeah, then you're like,
I'm on bear alert.
You're like in the wild.
Yeah, I'm like, such is the life of a New Yorker.
I think maybe RVs are like not for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know. That sewage pit, that sounded nice.
I mean, it's kind of cute. They really like have it down to a science.
Yeah.
They call it the really gross water, they call it the black water.
Uh-huh.
It's like kind of Game of Thrones-esque.
Yeah.
And then like the not so gross water is the gray water.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, but so you like pull the water and then it like comes, but then it just like washes itself with soap. And you're like,
it never happened. It all sounds like a honeymoon, I'll tell you that much. Thank you so much for being here. It's always so wonderful to see you. Welcome back. Sasha Mamet, everybody. All 10 episodes of Tales from the City are currently streaming on Netflix.
Hi, everyone. It's Sarah from Late Night. I'm here with Sasha. Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I just bonked myself in the nose with the
That's okay. They can control that volume
microphone.
If it made a sound.
I don't think it did. I just felt like I needed people to know that just happened.
So you talked a little bit about your road trip with your husband.
Yes.
What we didn't get to in the show was visiting the Grand Canyon.
Oh, yes.
So you and Evan did a mini mule tour.
Yeah, I mean, they don't call it the mini mule tour because I feel like that would make me feel like feel bad about themselves. But we did like the bigger mule tour that I really want to go back and do is like there's this ranch that this woman whose name I'm forgetting designed in the 40s that's at the bottom of the Grand Canyon called Phantom Ranch. And so you can ride mules all the way down. It's like an all-day trek, and then you stay overnight and then you ride them all the way back up.
Is it super steep?
I think it's like kind of gnarly. I'm not afraid of heights and I ride horses, so like I'm also very comfortable on a steed. And riding around the rim of the Grand Canyon on these mules, I was like, I kept being like, what if I just fall over? Or like, what if the mule just like jumps off the side of the canyon?
Yeah, that's a real fear.
Yeah, it was pretty, yeah. It was a little scary, but I want to do it again, so.
And you said that you guys were expecting to do a more northern route on the way home.
Yes, so we drove out the southern route. We drove through like Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, and then we were going to come back and go through like Wyoming and Montana. And then the day before we left San Francisco, we read that the Northwest was getting hit with this like crazy polar vortex. So we had to come back the way we came.
What parks were you trying to visit in Wyoming?
We wanted to go to like Zion. We wanted to go to Moab. We wanted to go. Yeah. I mean, there was like the list was endless. We had like a little bit longer on the way back. We were driving to San Francisco to get to the Tales premiere there. So we had to be there by a certain date. But like our date on the way home was a little bit flexible. So we were trying to just like hit as many places as possible, but
so it's so cool.
Now it's just an excuse to go back.
Yeah. You want to do it again. I wanted to ask you about filming in San Francisco. Did you find you got to be a tourist in that city? Cause I know you grew up in California, but you were in LA, right?
Yeah. So we actually, as like a show filmed, I think we shot like 10 days in San Francisco total. And I didn't go. It was like a very skeleton crew. They basically went for the exterior shots that they had to get, mm-hmm. That like couldn't really be doctored. But for the majority of the shoot, we shot on a soundstage at Silver Cup in Queens.
Oh, okay. I thought a lot was done in San Francisco.
No, it was only a tiny bit. There's like a lot of, it's funny, Lauren Morelli, the creator, was like, I had no idea that I would be someone who like knew so much about visual effects, but like we created Barbary Lane on mm-hmm. a stage. And so like a lot of the shots that look up at the sky or look out from a window, like those are all visual effect shots.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.